John begins by telling us that Jesus has always been. He was not created. There was never a time when Jesus wasn't. He was always with God in his personhood as the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity. And he is, in fact, God. So that is how John starts. He wants us to have no doubt about who Jesus is. Sure, Jesus took on flesh, God dwelling bodily, but John wants us to understand with no doubt that Jesus is God. Why? Because his whole gospel is to prove to you that if you believe and put your faith in Jesus alone, you will be saved. His whole point is for you to grasp and understand that Jesus is God, that he paid the penalty of your sin, and by believing in him, you will be saved. So John says from the start, this is who you believe in. And the rest of the gospel seeks to prove that message. So John told us who Jesus is and some of what Jesus did. All things, if you remember, were created by Jesus and for Jesus. So all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. All things that have life through Jesus. And the darkness cannot overcome the light who is Jesus. Any version you come across that paints Jesus as less than this is a false, non-biblical Jesus and cannot save you. We must accept fully who Jesus is, fully God and fully man. So Jesus made all things, he gave life to all things, and all things were made for him. So let's get personal. That means Jesus made you. He gave you life. And you were made for him. Isn't that what it means? All things were created by him and for him. Then you were created by him and for him. What is your purpose? What is your calling? Jesus. It's that simple. You were made for him. This is why nothing else in life can ever satisfy. If you put all of your hope in marriage, it will disappoint. If you put all of your hope in work, it will disappoint. You were not made to be fully satisfied in the things that you weren't made for. You were made for Jesus, and only he can fully satisfy you. That is the good news. You weren't made for work. You weren't made for or by money. You were made for Jesus. So, do you want some evidence of that? Well, that leads us to our passage this week. So I'm going to read John 1:6-13. We already heard it, but it's great to hear this passage again. John 1:6-13. I'm reading from the ESV, John 1:6-13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, I love these little details, which they sort of feel insignificant, but they help us, I think, realize that we're dealing with truth that was written in the scripture by real people. So did you know that John here is never anywhere else in the Gospels referred to as just John? He's always called John the Baptist or baptizer. Why? Like I said, it's simple, but it's important. Because who's writing this letter? The Apostle John. So we've got two very significant Johns. And so in the other Gospels, if they're talking about John the Baptizer, they say it's John the Baptist. Or we're talking about the Apostle John. Whereas John the Apostle is writing this, so he feels like he doesn't need to clarify which John we're talking about. Simple, isn't it? But what does it indicate? That it's real. It's real John writing the letter. And he's like, oh no, I don't need to worry about that. That's just more writing with my chisel. No, whatever it was. Right? Because they don't need to include that because it's John the Apostle writing about John the Baptist. I just like how you see those little details. So this is the only place where he's just referred to as John. So we begin. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is a great and important introduction, isn't it? There was a man sent from God. It calls out exactly the importance of who John the Baptist is, his calling sent directly from God. It puts John in the same league as the prophets, called by God with an important message. It's actually very similar to Jesus coming directly from God, a commission to achieve. So there was a man sent from God. In other words, listen. He's come directly from God. And what was the task of John? To bear witness about the light, which we read about back in verse 5. Now, witness here means to testify or to give evidence of. It's a courtroom term. It's a legal term. So John's role was to give witness, was to give evidence to the light. So how did John do that? How did John give evidence about Jesus, the light of God? Now, if you don't know much about John, he was a quirky guy, to say the least. John lived in the wilderness, as far as we know, on his own. He dressed himself in camel skins, and he ate honey and locusts. Now, this wasn't some kind of John's paleo diet or new keto Netflix diet for you all to try. This was abject poverty. That's what this is actually describing, and we can miss that. John lived in the wilderness, and he dressed himself in the skins of dead animals, whatever he could find and use. He ate whatever he could scavenge, in this case, locusts and honey. This is what somebody in absolute poverty would do. In short, John would have been a pretty wild-looking man, fairly dirty, long beard, long hair, possibly matted into dreadlocks, and living alone in the wilderness. Sets an interesting picture, doesn't it? And what did John do who was to bear witness about Jesus? This wild man living in this really crazy way out in the wilderness began to preach a message of repentance. Now, repentance means to turn away, to stop living in a worldly way, to stop living in sin and start living for God. And so John preached a message of repentance, asking people to live according to God's holiness, to stop being involved in sexual immorality, to stop being involved in ripping people off in business, to stop being involved in all kinds of sins that are common to each one of us. And so John began to preach a message of repentance. This crazy wild man began to say, you should not do those things, you should do live differently. And what happened? crowds, thousands upon thousands of people came to be baptized by John according to that message. Now, baptism in the Old Testament sense was linked very much to purification. So you went into the water, and the water represented being made clean. So you chose to live a new life honoring God, and the water represents the washing away of sin and then rising to a new clean life. And people came in their thousands. Why? Because most people realize deep down inside that they need to be made clean. Is it any different today? Why is it that in this materialistic, wealthy, comfortable Australian life that we lead, people are more dissatisfied than ever? Why is it people spend enormous amounts of money on self-help gurus, life coaches, New Age, prosperity preachers? It goes on and on and on. And why? Because people are seeking fulfillment that all of the material things never seem to provide and simply leave you feeling dirty. Simply leave you feeling unclean. And people are out there looking for some means, some way, someone to tell them that it's all okay. You just got to add this or add that or do this and suddenly everything will be okay. And it's this endless treadmill that you simply can't get off. Did you know, and I kid you not, you can Google this later and check me up. There's a website now called Rent a Friend. That's a fact. You can go on there and you can rent a friend to go to the beach. You can rent a friend to go to a museum. You can rent a friend to come to a family function. Now, you know what? I'm kind of glad that for lonely people, there's an option out there for them. But how wrong have we gone? How mixed up are we in our priorities? That we're going to pay for friendship. Right, the things of the world can't satisfy, they just leave us feeling dirty. This world is a constant testimony to people's dissatisfaction. We see it all around us endlessly, and we see it in our own hearts. And it was no different in the days of John the Baptist. The world simply points out so many things that you must have but can never satisfy. It's like trying to quench your thirst drinking from a mirage. The closer you get, the further away it is, and it ends up with nothing. There's only one source of living water that will completely satisfy. But we'll wait for a little later in John before we get into that one. So John highlighted the problem, but he also pointed to the solution. John came to bear witness about the light. John came to tell us where the light is that darkness cannot overcome. People were coming to be John because they felt the darkness in their life, and John was going to point them to the true light, Jesus. So where's your darkness? The world and its political turmoil at the moment? Loved ones? Mental health? Feeling unappreciated? Loneliness? Anger? Pride? Greed? The world can never offer you answers to these things. There's only one light that darkness cannot overcome. John came as a witness to the light that all might believe through him. Believe, this critical word in John's gospel that I spoke about last week, believe. The purpose of the Gospel of John, that you would believe. What is his purpose? That you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you would have life in his name. The light that darkness cannot overcome. How long have you been coming to church? This is your first week or your 10,000th week? Not sure how old that makes you. Probably very old. Anyway, my maths was never very good. All right. But how long have you been coming? Here's the thing. It does not, will not, cannot make you a Christian. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? Accepted that he is God? That he died for your sin? Given him your life that you would be resurrected in him and begin to live with God alone as your greatest prize and treasure? That is the gospel, and that's what John wants you to believe and do. To take the step of giving your life to Christ. Now, the Apostle John makes it clear here that John the Baptist was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. And that's a great truth that we have to understand, right? John wasn't there for himself. He wasn't there to build up a following. He was there strictly to point at Jesus. Now, they think, theologians and historians, that maybe there was a cult that began to follow John the Baptist, which is why he kind of mentions this a couple of times. And John clearly says, no, this John the Baptist was purely to point the light at Jesus. Sadly, the same thing can happen in churches today, though, this cult of pastor, cult of church leader, where people kind of begin to follow a leader more than they do Christ. No, the job of any preacher, pastor, elder, priest, I don't care what name you give them, the job of all of them is to point you to Jesus. It's not about a person, never has been, never will be. How do you know if you're listening to a false teacher? They'll talk about their greatness. They'll talk about your greatness, but not the greatness of Jesus. You want an example? Here I'm going to name names, right? There's this great theologian who's also quite a funny dude. He has a comic called Adam 4D. I don't know if some of you have seen it, but it is hilarious. But he's also very savvy. But he decided to do a real poll. And so he surveyed all of Joel Osteen's social media accounts over a period of time, and he just tallied the same words that came up to see which word would win after a couple of months. So what we end up with was this. In fourth place on the tally was the word dream. In second, tied was destiny and favor. First place, by a long way, was declare. Of zero mention was Jesus. Be very, very careful of someone who declares a lot of things but not Jesus as Lord. Right? The false teacher will talk about their greatness, your greatness, but not the greatness of Jesus. Okay? That's what John came to do, to point at Christ. And that's all we want to do here in this church. None of us can save you. Jesus can. Right? Put your faith in him. When we repent and believe, what is it that we gain? We gain God, right? That's what we gain, our greatest treasure and joy. We become more like Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the Father. The joy of what? The joy of returning to the Father. He endured the cross. What do we gain when we give up this life and we repent of the world and its desires? What do we gain when we come to church and lay down our life for Jesus? What do we gain when we forsake sexual immorality, when we forsake materialism and money? What do we gain? We gain Jesus. That's it. It's not about anything else. I'm not going to sit up here and promise you your best life now. I promise you Jesus. Right? That's what we gain. That's the good news. Jesus is the gospel. You and I, we're not saved from trial and tribulation. In fact, it's the opposite. Did you know that? Jesus says, "No servant is greater than his master. If they despised me, they will despise you also. All those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Blessed are you when people persecute you because of me." We could go on. There were the ones I could think of off the top of my head, straight up. Jesus telling Christians, if you're like me, you will get persecuted. We share in the sufferings of Christ to the praise of his glory, and we can do so with joy because we gain Christ. Well, that's the good news. This just highlights the lies and deceit of false teachers. They lie to gain money. Given you will be blessed. Given you will get more. Given be rich. But the real tithing message I would preach to you sounds a little different. Give because you're a servant. Give because you get to share in the sufferings of Christ. Give because a godly life guarantees persecution. Has a ring to it, don't you think? Right? But that's the gospel. Give everything to Jesus, share in his sufferings, and gain Christ. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Drew. Right? That's the gospel. And that's what John came to do. And people saw something. And they came in their thousands, seeking to be made clean. And he pointed them at Jesus. If you feel dirty, if the world makes you feel stained, the answer is not in sin. The answer is not that there's something wrong with you in the eyes of the world. The answer is to come to the light, believe in him, and gain Jesus. John 1, 9 to 13, I'm just going to refresh the back of our passage. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The true light, Jesus, the Logos, the Word, which gives light to everyone, came and is coming into the world, and John was there to witness to it. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus brought his light to everyone. Now, does that mean everyone is saved? If he came and his light was for everyone? No, what it means is this: he brought light through the darkness of the world. He brought the truth to reveal our sin, to reveal the deeds done in the dark. He brings light to everyone, and everyone in the light of Christ knows that they are sinful and has to make a choice. To hide from the light which exposes who you truly are, sinful and under the wrath of God, and to hide in the darkness and hide from his holy presence, or to fall on your face in repentance. The light that shines in the dark. The first time I experienced the presence of God, I was at a bush dance. I was at a bush dance, and people there were all doing, you know, heel and toe, and everyone's having a great time. It was all youth and young adults, and everyone was just really into it. And on the bus ride to the bush dance, I prayed a very dumb prayer. I said, I'd heard about Jesus for the very first time in my life. I was 18 years of age. I said, righto, if you're real, prove it. I was cocky with Jesus, the one who spoke all things into being, right? Just heads up, he will humble you. I was in the middle of the dance. I was like a junior Bronco. I was pretty full of myself. I was there feeling like I was pretty cool. And the light of Jesus burned into the darkness. And in the middle of a dance, I fell on my face and sobbed my heart out because I felt dirty and he felt holy and I knew I was sinful. And right there in the middle of a dance, a few people got me up and walked me outside. And I poured my heart out saying, I don't know what's happening, but my life just changed forever. The light of Christ shines on all people. And it exposes the darkness of the heart. And you can run further into the arms of the world, which will never satisfy. Or you can give yourself over to the burning pain of his holiness. But then the forgiveness and cleansing in the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what he offers. That's the good news that John testifies about. He came to his own, the Jewish people. Jesus was born of their line. He came to his own and his own did not accept him. They rejected him. They chose to stay in the darkness. But the message of the gospel, the light shines on all people, and it shines upon the Gentiles. It shines upon you and me, and to those who accept the light, those who accept the holiness of God, those who forsake the world and give their lives to Jesus and believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God, not by birth into a nation, not by birth into a family, but by the will of God who makes you his child. Right? That's what John says. That's the only way to become a Christian. Is this your morning? Are you ready to be born into the family of God? To repent and turn away from the world and its promises of fulfillment and believe in Jesus. Give him your life, accepting that at times the world will hate you like they hated Jesus. But you will have Christ and he will be enough. You must decide. You're not a Christian because you came to church. You're a Christian because you felt the light of his holiness burn against your sin. You've surrendered your life and accepted life in Christ. That's you this morning. I'm going to pray in a moment and I ask you to pray along with me. Simple prayer of acknowledging our sin and giving our lives to Jesus. And if you pray that prayer, then I've got one simple request. When the service ends, come and tell me, come and tell someone that this morning you made a stand for Jesus and you accept all that that means. Bow your head and pray. Lord, I accept that I am sinful. In the light of the holiness of the light of God, every thought, every deed, every act of selfishness, of hate, every act of love in the world instead of love for God, Lord, it reveals that I have loved the darkness and lived for its pleasure. But Lord, in light of your holiness, in light of my sin, I simply would pray that you would forgive me by the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, he took my place and my punishment that I deserve. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, knowing that I am forgiven when I truly put my faith in you, I live each day now for you and your glory. Lord Jesus, you are my prize. You are my treasure. Lord, help me to learn to walk after you, to forsake everything else, and live with Jesus as my great prize. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have done everything to give me eternal life. In your precious name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that this morning and you believed it, then Jesus has welcomed you into the family of God. And you have joined your brothers and sisters in Christ. Please tell someone and we can celebrate with you. Thank you.